Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive. It is day two of the Buffalo Bills mandatory mini camp going on as we speak. Started at noon. It'll be over around 2 o'clock today. Bills will have one more tomorrow. Then they're off for 6 weeks until training camp begins. Speaking of training camp, Buffalo's training camp schedule came out this morning. The Bills heading to St. John Fisher College in Pittsford, New York for the 18th consecutive year. They have 12 practices in all scheduled at Fisher, 12 open public practices scheduled at Fisher, one practice here at New Era Field on August 9th, some theme days in the mix for the Bills as well. The complete schedule up on our website, buffalobills.com, along with an explanation of the theme days and the ticket policy for training camp. Training camp just 6 weeks away. Around the National Football League, some news. The Oakland Raiders will not be sending a draft pick for the Jets to the Jets for Christian Hackenberg. After all, Oakland released Hackenberg from its 90-man roster yesterday, 3 weeks after acquiring him from the Jets for a conditional seventh rounder. New Raiders coach John Gruden says the decision was made to cut Hackenberg because roster spots were needed to sign veteran defensive linemen Frosty Rucker and Ataba Rubin. The Los Angeles Rams have been ordered to pay former NFL running back Reggie Bush $12.4 million in damages for a knee injury he suffered 3 years ago in 2015. Bush, then playing for the 49ers, ran out of bounds on a punt return at a game at the Edward Jones Dome November 1st, 2015, slipped on some concrete, suffered a torn lateral meniscus. Attorneys for the Rams say they plan to file a motion for a new trial. No comment from the Rams on the issue. After an offseason audition of sorts, the Denver Broncos are going to hire DeMarcus Ware as a pass rush specialist. Select day, he'll work on a part-time basis on select days each month. He's already worked some of the Broncos during the offseason program. Ware played for the Broncos for the last three seasons of his 12-year NFL career. And the U.S. is going to participate with Mexico and Canada for the World Cup as the U.S. won a joint bid with U.S., Mexico, and Canada for the 2026 World Cup, featuring an expanded field of 48 teams. That's big news, Steve, the World Cup coming to the U.S.
You know, who would have thought that Canada, the U.S., and Mexico could act like they like each other so much? Who would,
well,
you know,
up until the last
right?
week or
That's
so.
That's awesome.
Canada was cool
yeah,
up
right?
until last weekend.
yeah.
Are you into the World Cup? Are you going to watch this or follow this in the next week or two, this year's World Cup? Are you going to be into that?
Not without the U.S. in it.
Really? You're like that, huh?
Nope, I am like that. Not without our guys in it. So
I have no interest.
Listen, when the U.S. is in it, when the U.S. men's national team or the U.S. women's national team is on and they're playing another country, I am all about it. I watch it, and I'm cheering for them, too. But I'm not cheering for Tunisia against England. You know,
is Tunisia even in it?
Yes, they are.
Are they?
I'm not going to watch, you know, Russia play, you know, Kazakhstan. Who cares? I mean, I don't care about that. I want to see the U.S. men's national team or the U.S. women's national team, and we couldn't even get in it.
Well, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the embarrassment of the World Cup right there. Now we're probably hope we can get in. Do we get an automatic bid if we host it?
I don't know. Why? I know nothing about soccer.
All right, we're going to research that. We'll get our crack research staff and our interns on that to find out if the host. Well, if the host country gets an automatic bid, does that mean Canada, the U.S., and Mexico all get automatic bids?
These are huge questions. Why don't you
in
do a little work on this on your vacation, your extended vacation?
I don't want to know that.
I don't either. Our Twitter poll today is a pretty good one. Steve came up with it. It's a three-way split right now. Which Bills free agent acquisition on defense?
Is it exactly three-way?
Are you most excited to watch this season? It's just about.
Oh, my God.
33% of you say Star Lotulelei. 33% of you say Vontae Davis. 32% of you say Trent Murphy. 2% have somebody else in mind. Love to talk to you about it. Which free agent acquisition on defense are you most excited to see to watch this season? Not necessarily who's going to be the best, But who are you really looking forward to seeing? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550.
We don't take the time to vote. Do you have a favorite of those three?
I'm going to vote Trent Murphy. First of all, I want to make sure that he's healthy. I look forward to seeing him healthy and playing. And, you know, he's right there, 32%. Secondly, he has a chance to maybe, I want to say, change the dynamic of the defense with his pass rush ability. You know, provide an alternate to Jerry Hughes for getting consistent, and consistent is critical here, consistent pass rush pressure on opposing quarterbacks. I would say Trent Murphy is, to me, the most potential to make a dynamic difference in this defense. I know Starla Tulalay is going to be good. The stuff he does will probably be, I don't want to say unnoticed, but not spectacular. I think Vontae Davis has a chance to be an upgrade, probably is an upgrade at the other corner opposite Tre'Davious White. And playing as he is on his one-year contract, I think he's gonna be motivated and will probably play well. But for me, it's Trent Murphy, the guy I'm most excited to see this year. What about you?
I agree completely. I mean, I that's the guy you'd kind of like to see make the splash. I mean, Vontae Davis, you think, well, the secondary was really good last year, and even if it's a push, or even if he's better, it's gonna look a lot like it did last year. Starlo Tulele, I'm with you. I mean, he's gonna be a guy that he could dominate, but you know, it's not really sexy to watch, you know. I mean,
right.
He's going to be soaking up guards and centers and letting Tremaine Edmonds and the linebackers or whoever else rush the passer. But Trent Murphy is the guy that I would love to see make a big difference in what they did last year. They just struggled to rush the passer. They didn't do it consistently, and they need a guy. And with the stuff we've been hearing, Chris Brown at the top of our show was out at practice today saying how unbelievable Shaq Lawson looked yesterday rushing the passer. He's changed his body type. He's really worked hard to come back and make a splash this year as a 4-3 defensive end, and you put him out there, Shaq Lawson, with Jerry Hughes and Trent Murphy. All of a sudden, it's a very, very different dynamic on the field up in the front seven than it was last year. So I'm with you. I'd love to see it be Trent Murphy. And even though as we're sitting there and we're having this short conversation, now everybody's voting for Starlo Tulele. He's 34%. Vontae Davis, 33%. And Trent Murphy's down to 31%. Our votes go negative.
It's a horse race.
It is.
It's great. We got some good responses that people have written in on Twitter as well. Mafia Man tweets in, most excited to see Trent Murphy with a great backfield to force opposing quarterbacks to hold on to the ball longer. And with Jerry Hughes getting attention up front, Trent could be the piece we missed last year.
Yeah.
I like that. That's true.
Yeah, there's some really good responses. You can tell people are really engaged with what's going on. And they understand where they were last year, the strides they made this year, and what it could mean. And I think the interesting thing about this whole offseason for me, Murph, the more I think about it, it's going to be a completely different-looking football team. Remember last year they came out and they struggled to score points. They never turned it over. The defense would get turnovers. They'd run the ball really well, and they'd win these close games. And the only game that really was a spectacular comeback was the Tampa Bay game where they were down 10 points with 2 minutes to go. They scored the touchdown, got a fumble or a turnover, and went in and got the touchdown or the field goal to win it, or I can't remember exactly how it worked, but they came back late and won the Tampa Bay game. Other than that, it was just kind of a grind all season offensively. The thing that makes this team so intriguing to me this last offseason, the way they've done it, it's going to look completely different. Their offense is going to be completely different. Their defense is going to be different because the front seven has been totally reworked. Their secondary looks to be as strong as it was a year ago, which – last year, remember how surprised we were that it was.
Yeah, that was a question
mark.
Four
new plays, it was a huge question mark, didn't they?
Going in.
And you forget sometimes when all these teams go into the season with question marks. Well, sometimes the answers to those questions are an emphatic yeah. And that's what happened to the Bills' secondary last year. It was a big question mark. Four completely new faces in the secondary, and it was like, oh, man, we're really good.
Look at these guys.
Yeah, and that was a huge surprise. So this year, it's not going to be a surprise, but both on the offense and the defensive side of the ball, they're going to look different.
Yeah. I always get excited. Minicamp Jack tweets in, I am most excited to see Trent Murphy. Love his no-nonsense blue-collar approach. If he gets healthy, he could provide a boon to the pass rush and help free up Jerry Hughes. Sacks are money plays, he says in capitals. That said, star may mean the most of the defense which got gashed on the ground last year. A lot of people saying Trent Murphy, but Daryl F29 says, I pick Starlo Tulele, mm-hmm. Even though it's hard to get excited about a guy whose primary job is to eat up blockers. I'm looking forward to seeing how opposing teams scheme for him and what his presence does for the rest of the defense, especially the guys up front.
I love it. And you get this, you get these tweets, and everybody kind of sprinkles in stuff. You know, you can kind of relate to what they're saying. Tiffany Daniels puts in, I can see Trent Murphy bringing some production and excitement to a pass rush in need of some pressure opposite Jerry Hughes. He feels like a Buffalo guy. I can see him being a fan favorite while taking down opposing quarterbacks, especially the guy up in New England. And that's, you know, but I don't think they get tweets like, hey, he's a Buffalo guy in New York.
Means.
You know, I don't get he's a New York guy. I don't think you get that in New York. I don't think you get he's a Patriot guy. I don't think you get guys like, because those guys are interchangeable.
I'd be curious what people mean, what Tiffany Daniels means when she says that. He feels like a Buffalo guy.
Well, you think about it, it's the same thing they get about up above when Minicamp Jack says he's a no-nonsense blue-collar approach. You know, I think that's what he comes up. We had him on the show. And maybe we have to go back in the archives, and if you can, go back. And listen to the interview we had with Trent Murphy. And I told you this, he is a big, scary dude. I mean, he is a serious guy. He has a good sense of humor, don't get me wrong, but, man, you can just see that light switch going off. And he's big, tall, lumberjack, big beard, lives in a garage one because he wants to work out with us. You know, I mean, he's a stone cold killer, man. He is unbelievable. He really has that huge. He just looks like he's menacing, you know. He's a sweetheart of a guy when he's sitting here.
Yeah.
But you can tell a guy who just is built to rush the passer. He's big, tall, rangy. He's not a very heavy looking guy, but a lot of fun to talk to him. I'd encourage your listeners, if you can't, go back in the archives and pick up that interview we did with Trent Murphy when he first got here about the environment he likes to surround himself in, where he came
looking
from.
Looking for a house.
His dad and the way they worked out when he was a kid. He has a brother, the same thing. It's pretty cool to listen to, and that's why I think when people say, hey, he's a Buffalo guy, yeah, I mean, I have to agree.
Needs to be a healthy guy.
Hey,
right?
Listen.
That's, again, to me, that's the biggest question about him. I think he has a lot to contribute here, and I think they need what he can contribute. But first and foremost, he's got to get on the field. He's not in team drills this week. Now, we're 6 weeks away from training camp and months away from any meaningful football, but at some point, he needs to get on the field and practice on a regular basis.
Yeah, I get that. And for me, though, I mean, because I've seen it happen and been through it a couple of times, where you come back, you're coming off a pretty significant injury. Particularly when you sit down and talk with a guy about what he's going through and the kind of mindset he's got and where he's been, where he's headed, and where his plans are, that doesn't scare me like it does, I think, people who haven't been through it. I've seen a lot of guys like Trent Murphy come back from catastrophic injuries, just devastating injuries, and come back and play as good, if not better, because they become dedicated not just in their physical abilities, but also in their dedication to their preparation, in their dedication to their study. To their film work and their scouting reports and all of that's the extra stuff that, you know, nobody ever sees. They become back more dedicated to all of that as well, and that makes them better in so many other ways. So the injuries never really scared me unless it becomes another injury and another injury and another injury and another injury. Then it's an issue. But for a guy like Trent Murphy, this being really the first time we've seen him get nicked up in his career, I'm not as concerned with that as maybe other people are.
What do you think? Which defensive free agent the Bills have signed are you most excited to see? Give us a call. We'll talk about it. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. When we started talking about this legendary Twitter poll, we talked about which news – we talked about maybe the question is which newcomer to the defense most excited to see, and we said, boom, it's going to be Tremaine Edmonds, right?
Right.
That poll would be 95% Tremaine Edmonds. We're all excited about him. He's coming in here, by the way, after practice today, shortly after 2 o'clock. We'll get first-round draft pick Tremaine Edmonds in studio with us, right?
We're getting the real answer to the poll.
Yeah.
Twitter poll.
The non-free agent
on the show.
Right. But that's all right. That's how we do the Twitter poll. We discuss.
It's a great little tweak to the Twitter poll. It was going to be a landslide. Now it's a horse race.
It's a horse race. And somebody said our process of discussing the Twitter poll, would they say it's entertaining or it's a...
I don't know if that's putting it mildly. I don't know. Yeah, the tension was palpable between us and our Twitter poll.
Well, I mean, it's competition. We want to have the best Twitter poll.
That's right.
Right? Who's got it? Who's got the best question? Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm going to miss you the next week or two, Steve.
Yeah.
No more Twitter poll competition.
Yeah.
The other first-round draft pick, Josh Allen, we talked a lot about him over the last few days. Shady McCoy talked about him yesterday, LeSean McCoy meeting with the media after yesterday's workout. He was asked if he's had a chance to look at Josh Allen throw the football, and what does he think? What does he think of his arm strength? What does he think of the first-round draft pick quarterback? Here's what Shady had to say about Josh Allen.
I got to be honest, he's pretty good. And I'm not a big fan of rookies. Probably my best rookie I think I liked in my career has probably been Trey. Trey's really good, right? And a lot of guys, as rookies, they're not like him.
You mean Trey Evans?
No, Trey.
Trey White.
Yeah, Trey White. Yeah, yeah. And quarterback is on that level. He's good. He's smart. He has to learn, of course. He throws some passes that probably shouldn't have been thrown. But other than that, he has a strong arm. He's very intelligent. He's too smart. I tell him sometimes, we have conversations, hey, man, easy. This is not like an exam. Just talk to me. You can say yo. You can say what's up. But as a talent level, nah, he's going to be really good for a lot of years, and I want to be a part of that when he takes over eventually. I mean, took him early in the draft, so that's just common sense. But nah, he's special. That's for sure.
What do you think he can bring to this?
Only thing is, some dudes like that, they start getting carried away. Now, we got to give Shady the ball 25 times, and then you could, you know, throw it here and there.
From what you've seen early from Josh, what could he bring? What different dynamic could he bring to this offense?
Well, it's still early. I don't want to make him Jim Kelly already, but he just has to learn different things. I mean, he's a rookie, and the quarterback is such an important role. He's like a coach on the field as far as making the right reads, being confident. I mean, he has so much he has to learn, from his position to the wide receivers to the linemen, protections. So he has a lot on his plate. But other than that, just talent-wise and intelligence, I mean, he has it to be a starting quarterback and also a franchise quarterback. I mean, he's impressive. You see him, he's confident. One of the practices, he threw a pick. He came back. It's like a two-minute drill. Came down and scored. He does things like put the ball in the right places, jump balls, back shoulders, all the things that you have to, like, kind of remind, emphasize to a player. He's kind of has it, you know. And I'm not sure anything about Wyoming, with what they taught him there or the players he was around. But give him players at an NFL level. Give him a guy in the backfield like me to work matchups. You know, it makes it a lot easier for him. And, you'll see. You'll see he's pretty good. You'll see in a couple of years or this year or next year. But have a big career.
LeSean McCoy on his new teammate, Josh Allen, the quarterback. A couple of things here, Steve, that I thought was interesting. Shady said one of the practices threw a pick, came back, two-minute drill, came down and scored. But this part, and I've noticed this too watching Josh Allen, Shady says he does things like he puts the ball in the right places, jump balls, back shoulders, all the things that you have to remind and emphasize to a player. I've said to you, he can make all the throws. If you watch some of the OTAs and the minicamp, he can make – I mean, it's a cliche. People say it around before the draft, what the quarterback can make all the throws. With Josh Allen, you see it. He can make any throw you want. Now, can he do it consistently? Can he do it on time, on a regular basis? That has to be worked out. But Shady's noticed it. I noticed it a week or two ago. The guy has he's got the full package that you want at quarterback.
Yeah, he always seems to exceed expectations. I mean, everybody has expectations about a guy coming in, and for – number seven overall pick at that position, the expectations are pretty high. But when he can still come in and exceed them in the early stages of his career, that's no question that's exactly where you want to be. You want the guy to do things a little better than you thought he'd be able to. You always want to see a guy who does it a little bit faster, a little bit better, makes a little fewer mistakes or overcomes mistakes better or sees things, communicates better, just surprises you at every level. And I think Josh Allen has checked off all of those boxes, but it's like the same old thing. I mean, everybody looks good until you get hit in the mouth. You know?
Yep.
And he's going to get hit in the mouth, and he's going to struggle. We had him on the other day, and we asked him, and that's he had a chance to go down and sit and talk with Bill Parcells for an entire day, he and Sam Darnold. And he said that's what Parcells told him. He says, you're going to get hit in the mouth. And he goes, you're going to get lumped up and you're going to get beat 35-10, and it's going to be your fault. And how you handle it after that is going to say how successful you are in this league, because it happens to everybody. And you need to be able to grab those guys and make them believe in you again after you let them down for a week. You didn't play well for a week. And he seems ready to do that. But You're right. I think that's the thing at this point, to see a guy exceed your expectations. That's a really nice place to be, because we've seen it before. And in fact, just yesterday, Christian Hackenberg got cut again. A pick for the New York Jets at quarterback. Never saw a down. Never saw a live play in a game for the Jets after being drafted by them. Was cut, and now was cut again. He never exceeded expectations. Not once.
Never met
expectations, let alone exceeded them. And now you've got a guy like Allen who's done nothing but the reverse of that. So we'll see.
What does Shady mean when he says, "I'm not a big fan of rookies"? That one got me. I thought, I could see that. I could see how he'd be like that.
Yeah. For one thing, as a vet, it's. I get it. I mean, these guys come in and they're all this hoopla against them, and it's, they've never even played in a game yet, and yet they're. People say things about them that they say, either good things, and it's always good stuff. It's always great. Like they're talking about Josh Allen exceeding expectations. And as a veteran, you're sitting there going, dude, I want to see you do it against a player. I want to see, this isn't Colorado State,
right.
So you kind of get weary of hearing how many good things that can be said about these players who have never played it down in the NFL, particularly as a guy like LeSean,
right.
Who's all pro. So it's I understand it, I get it, but it doesn't have anything to do with him personally, or it doesn't even have to do with the fact they're young. It has to do with them being unproven, and having all these nice things said about them when sometimes you're working hard and you're unjustly criticized. So it's pretty easy to disparage a young guy.
For Shady to say, "I have to be honest, he's pretty good," that gets people's attention. I did a radio interview with. Radio in Boston today, Patriots station, and that was the first thing they asked. It was almost like, whoa, if an established, outstanding NFL pro like LeSean McCoy says, "I have to be honest, he's pretty good," that gets people's attention, don't you think?
Yeah, because he came across as genuine. It wasn't like he's just saying, no, he's
it
he's
wasn't
not,
the typical
it wasn't a company
oh, yeah,
line.
Not, right.
It was, I got to be honest, he's pretty good. And I think that gets back to exceeding expectations. I think he has done that. And the expectations were pretty high. And to have him come in and meet them or exceed them in certain instances, I think that's a nice place for him to be at this early stage of his career.
Yeah. Shady talked a lot yesterday, late after practice. And one of the things he was asked about, and this really does impact him, the changes up front on the offensive line, right? Eric Wood gone, Richie Incognito gone, a couple of new faces maybe moving in. Shady was asked about that. How does he feel about the offensive line? How do you feel about losing Eric Wood and Richie Incognito? Here's what McCoy had to say about that.
Losing Richie and Eric, I'll be lying if I told you that didn't matter. Some people might say that to kind of nip it in the bud and get it out the way, but them guys are great players. Eric is very smart, intelligent, plays hard. He's a veteran. He's been in different scenarios and situations. So having that leadership is big, and if we don't have that, because he's gone. And talk about Richie. People can say what they want about Richie, but he's one of the best blockers I've played with. He's aggressive, which we all know, and he's tough. So I'll miss him also. A lot of my best runs is behind him. So you calculate 400 yards, I always say, behind Richie. But that's one thing. I mean, the other part of that is also guys got to step up. I've been in a place with Brian Westbrook, who's a heck of a player. And I remember my first year with him, and then our next year, like one of the big stories is, what are we going to do without Westbrook? And that kind of drove me, so same thing with these guys. It's kind of a sign of opportunity, and what do you do with it? So, we'll see. We got some good backups and some guys competing for starting jobs, and that's what the NFL is all about. I mean, who was Tom Brady before Tom Brady? He got an opportunity and he made the best of it. So everybody has an opportunity, man. He's got to make the best of it.
Shady McCoy talking about his offensive line. The one thing, and again, I'm going back to the interview I did this morning in Boston. They asked about losing Incognito and Wood and some other leaders on offense. And what strikes me about McCoy's response there, Steve, is that he talked about Wood, what a good player he is, what a smart player he was. Now he's retired. But most of all, Shady talked about how much they will miss his leadership. They asked me on the Boston radio station this morning, who replaces that? I don't know. And I don't think you can sit here today on June 13th or whatever it is and say, you're the leader now on offense. Right. No, right? It has to emerge. It's organic.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's exactly right. It has. You can't rubber stamp somebody and say you're the guy. I mean, listen, we live in Buffalo. You can look at the hockey team and the same thing. I mean, they're looking for a guy they can do that, and there's no place you can do it. They got whoever it is has got to earn it. They got to earn the respect of the guys in the room, and it doesn't matter if you're a starter even. I mean, it can be anybody. It can be a role player. But if you stand up and you say some things and you do some things and your effort and your production match your words, you're going to get a voice. And particularly, in this culture here in Buffalo is healthy enough that guys have respect all around the room. They'll listen to guys who even aren't making a gazillion dollars, who don't have long-term contracts, who aren't household names. They will be given a voice, and if they can, it does help, no question about it, when it's the best players, like a LeSean McCoy, when it's your best players, like a Kelvin Benjamin or whoever you want to choose to throw in that, to Tremaine Edmonds, Kyle Williams. You can throw those names in there. It doesn't matter what role they play. It matters the kind of guy they are in the locker room. And, yeah, when you lose a quality guy who guys loved and respected, there's a void there. You're listening for his voice. You're listening for his input. You wish you could ask him what he thought about what's going on. And there's just no way you can because they're not there, and somebody's got to fill that void. And like I was saying just a minute ago, this is going to be a completely different team on the field. It's going to look different. It's going to be different in the locker room, too.
One more thing from Shady is he had a lot of interesting – we don't hear from Shady enough, right? We don't. We don't get him on the show. We got to work on that. We got to get Shady on the show. He was asked yesterday, LeSean McCoy, about his new offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. It is McCoy's fourth offensive coordinator here in 4 years. Think about that. Every year Shady's been here, right? Daboll and
Anthony Lynn.
Anthony Lynn, yep. Well, that's four in 4 years.
Yeah, the guy who went to Baltimore now is with Baltimore.
Greg Roman. There you go. Yeah, of course, last year's coordinator. 4 in 4 years. Shady was asked, what do you expect from Brian Daboll? What do you expect from the Buffalo offense this year? Here's what McCoy had to say.
Well, he's had success with the Patriots. He's had a lot of success with Alabama. He's going to run the ball for sure. You know, and you'll see a lot of similarities from us and the Patriots. That's where he comes from. You know, and one of the things where he's always trying to get a matchup. If you ever watch the Patriots when they play, now you got the guys like the Grunks who's going to get his off and he's going to make plays, but he's always looking for the matchups. If we get a running back on a linebacker, we want to take it. We get Clay on a particular linebacker, we want to take it. So even with Ben, he's a big target, you know, and Benjamin, we want to get him the ball. So he's always trying to confuse the defense and to find the mismatch. And the most offenses that are successful, that's what they do. That's what they do. So we're going to run the ball in different formations, keep guys off balance, be on an attack. And that's more just high-tempo offense, you know. Man. We're going to be similar, so we'll see. I'm excited to be here, I'll tell you that. At first, the offense was like, it was crazy. It was a lot of plays, you know, but a lot of studying, you know, for a great cause and a great outcome.
Shady McCoy on Brian Daboll, always looking to get a matchup. I mean, they all do, but I do think that is going to be maybe the main focus, right? And we don't know what the offense is yet, but it sounds like Daboll will try to get a matchup and will switch personnel and switch pace in order to do that. I think that might be maybe the fundamentals of what he wants to do.
I think that puts a lot on the plate of the quarterback.
Yeah.
When he sees that, because when you get to the line, you don't know what you're going to get in the defense. When you look and you kind of figure it out, you got to look at the defense. You got to anticipate what they're going to do pre-snap, knowing that they're probably going to disguise. And then you've got to try and find the matchup you want to get and either change the play or call the play or, you know, you got to get to it. Make with motion, with change in protection, that kind of thing, to get the matchup you want. And you have to do it really before the snap. And that's a lot on an offense. And not only does the quarterback have to see it to make the changes and all that, all the skill positions in the offensive line have to see it as well. So it does seem complicated at first, but that's the level that you have to be at to win championships. And I think that's the goal, obviously.
Some of the comments from LeSean Shady McCoy yesterday at practice. We've got more to talk about when we come back, including our Twitter poll. Which defensive free agent signee are you most excited about moving forward? Give us a call. We'll discuss that, 803-0550. And toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Steve and I back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Here live in studio with us, the first-round draft pick, the linebacker from Virginia Tech. Our first chance to sit and talk with him. From the Hall of Fame, this quick note, Steve. Andrea Kramer, ESPN, longtime ESPN reporter, NFL reporter, has been named the winner of the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award. She will be honored during the 2018 Enshrinement. I assume she will be there, even though Terrell Owens will not. Andrea Kramer gets the award for longtime exceptional contributions to radio and television in professional football. She has done that. That's the award Van Miller got way back in 2003.
Van Miller being the first local broadcaster to ever receive the Pete Rozelle Award.
You probably – Andrea Kramer was around the Super Bowl Bills a lot back then for ESPN, right? She covered you guys pretty extensively.
Yeah, but, you know. She talked to quarterbacks and defensive and running backs. And stuff. So well, she talked to the really good players.
She did not get your support.
She didn't get down the list far enough to get talk to me.
So. You got a couple of tweets you want to address.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about Josh Allen and how Shady had said, hey, he's not really a fan of rookies, but this guy looks good. And we talked about how Josh Allen exceeded expectations or has exceeded expectations up to this point. And we spoke about, too, that when he went down and visited Bill Parcells, he goes, listen, it's like old Mike Tyson saying, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. And Josh Allen hasn't been hit in the mouth yet, and he's going to look bad at some point during his first part of his career here. At some point when he gets in early, it's going to be a struggle at times for him, no question. And we said, you know, how he responds to that is going to be critical. And we got a great tweet from Bill Lutz who hit it right on the head. He goes, doesn't Josh Allen have that very example, that means example of bouncing back after a failure, on the roster in Nathan Peterman? Isn't he the perfect example of getting hit in the mouth and learning how to bounce back? Now, listen, Nate Peterman, everywhere, you got to know, he's here in Buffalo with us, guys, and listeners. Everywhere he goes, he gets 5 interceptions thrown up in his face, that L.A. game. I mean, right?
Yep.
I mean, he can't shake that until he gets on the field and proves that he's something else.
Well, I was going to say, and I appreciate this tweet, but is Peterman, has he bounced back? I mean, he played the Colts game, didn't get a chance to do much because of the weather. So he had a good day yesterday, but when do we say he's back, that he is over the 5 interceptions?
I don't know.
Can we say that yet? I know he intends on doing it. He's working at it. Is he back?
That's the thing.
And the public perception is Nathan Peterman, has he bounced back from the 5-pick game? I don't know that he has.
No, he hasn't, because he hasn't had a chance to get on the field in a
game. So how is that an example for Josh Allen?
Because of his attitude.
Okay,
I mean, you talk to anybody in the building, and even Josh Allen told us, he says the room is great. Nate Peterman's been great. And A.J. McCarron, same thing. Nate Peterman's great. He's one of the great guys. They say he's a walking angel.
Yeah, I love that quote.
So
I love that.
That kind of attitude, angel. After the kind of outing that Nathan Peterman had in San Diego, to have his teammates speak so glowingly about him, even the guys he's working with and in competition with think the world of the guy. That says a lot about the kind of person he is and how he's not going to let that 5-interception game first half, it's not going to define him for his life. Now, there are going to be certain people, particularly on Twitter and, how the social media are and people taking pot shots at the guy for the rest of his life for it. But you know what? Those who know him are going to know better. And I think that says a lot about the atmosphere it is and about what Josh Allen should be able to do when he struggles, maybe not for a 5-interception half, but when he doesn't play the way he kind of wants to play.
You know, he was back, so that game was mid-November, and he started the Colts game, which was December, a couple of weeks later, right, last year?
Yeah.
He was back by then. I mean, in terms of his attitude, we talked to him on the show here last December before the Colts game. He was I'm not going to say he was fine with the 5-interception game, but he was like, yeah, that happened. Now I'm ready to start again. I have to start because Tyrod's hurt.
Yeah,
I think that's who he is. And I think it's a great – you're right. Orange Bills fan is right. It's a great example. I think Nathan Peterman's example of a lot of good things about this team and being a pro in the NFL. I really do.
Yeah.
He's a walking angel.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that.
Even you can appreciate it whenever you see it. And like, for instance, we're going to talk about a little bit today about other guys who bounced back, one of which is Teddy Bridgewater, who is a guy who showed a few things in Minnesota. He came out of college and he was a high pick, and then had a devastating non-contact practice injury that left him out of football he was on the team, but he wasn't playing football for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And then to have his team be built around him and to have the year that the Minnesota Vikings had last year, while he sat there and had to watch, and really, by all rights and purposes, he could have said, man, this should have been my team by this time. It should have been me. And he didn't get a chance to do it. And now in New York, by all accounts, he has been the best performing quarterback.
Well, he had a good day one. I mean, look, hey, come on, we're taking snapshots here. Just as we say we're doing snapshots of the Bills, day one of minicamp, Teddy Bridgewater had a good day, and that's good. Good for him.
But I think it comes down to the fact that he's exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like we talk about with – that's it's the theme of the day for these quarterbacks. They exceed expectations. I know Josh – nobody's expecting Josh McCown to come out and play any differently than he's played for 15, 17 years, however long he's been out there. But Teddy Bridgewater, there's some questions. And to have him come out and play well, you know, there's so many people that are pulling for him. And just because of the way his career – the path that his career took because of that knee injury – really cool to see a guy bounce back after that, and then to go through it. It's a little bit like the Trent Green thing years and years ago when Kurt Warner burst onto the scene. Trent Green was going to be the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, or no, the St. Louis Rams. In the last preseason game, gets his knee injured. Kurt Warner steps in. They go to and win the Super Bowl, and Kurt Warner's the MVP. And Trent Green's standing there going, I thought it was going to be me.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to be me. And that's what Teddy Bridgewater went through last year when he saw Case Keenum resurrect his career and take that team to the Super Bowl. So it's I think everybody, no matter what team they see the guy play for, it doesn't have to be your team, a Bills team, or whatever team you happen to root for. It doesn't have to be a guy on your team, but you can certainly appreciate a guy like Teddy Bridgewater bouncing back and having a chance to play football again even.
And speaking of quarterbacks, Jets quarterbacks, Christian Hackenberg, who's done nothing really, but he was let go by the Raiders, so that trade has been voided. I don't get Christian Hackenberg. I don't get what the Jets were doing when they drafted him. You know, second round, 51st pick a couple of years ago. Drafted him, never let him play, trade him away. The Raiders don't even let him get to training camp with him. I guess my question is, how bad is Christian Hackenberg, and what on earth did the Jets see a couple of years ago? Just 2 years ago, and they chose him in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You have to think there's some underlying thing that's happening because even in the highlights that you see, it's all preseason games. He never got into a regular season game, was inactive virtually every game of his career. And on a team that was looking desperately for a quarterback, he never even got a shot.
Jets, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. And now that the Raiders cut him, then you got to think, well, Raiders cut him
2.5-3 weeks after they picked him up.
Yeah, maybe
it's him. Yeah, it's not him. I mean, it's not me. It's him. And I just don't. I go back to the original decision by the Jets. What did they see? I'd love to get the answer to
that. It's interesting too because we're looking at the highlights for MSG viewers. I mean, we're watching highlights of Hackenberg in a preseason game against the Giants, and he's throwing it all over the joint. I mean, he looks, you know, he's throwing it, making throws, and he's. You know, I know it's preseason, but how bad must he have looked, or what must have happened to his career, or what kind of guy must he be that he can't even get on the field? Crazy. For a Jet team that would have done anything to have a guy emerge.
Yeah, crazy.
They never even gave him a look. That's amazing to me. That's absolutely amazing to me. And I don't get it. I don't get it. And I haven't even really delved into it. I'm going to get a chance to see if I can ask somebody, and I'm going to find out what the deal was with him, and so at least I can have some closure on that, because that's a riddle. That is a riddle.
Staying in the AFC East, Gronkowski, Patriots, back in the news. The owner says, what did he call it?
Hogwash.
Hogwash. They report that they were going to trade Rob Gronkowski, but the report is from several different terminals that right around the time of the draft, they were making calls about Rob Gronkowski to other teams.
I don't know whether they're making calls or fielding calls. Either way, and listen, I don't doubt it. People, GMs, and we found this out this last offseason, we found a lot of people making phone calls about everything. So I don't doubt that people or teams, GMs, said, listen, what would it take to get Gronkowski out of there? You know, particularly since he's always unhappy. Or seems to be unhappy with his contract every year. Words have come out that he's, you know, a little bit, you know, the grind is kind of getting to him late last season.
Not having fun.
All that stuff coming out of there. So it's easy to see, like maybe he would, but then you hear the owner, and we've suspected this before with Jimmy Garoppolo and how he went to the 49ers off the Patriots roster. you hear this stuff about how the owner kind of swooped in and said yes or vetoed everything that they were thinking about doing, said, no, you're not doing that, or you're doing this, or I'll let you do that, but you can't do this. And I heard that the word was that he vetoed any deal that they were going to make with Gronkowski, or at least a specific deal that was on the table for Gronkowski.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, says the Patriots engaged in discussions about Gronkowski, quote, as recently as 3 days before the draft. And he said the Patriots may have been trying to move up with an eye on quarterback Baker Mayfield, who obviously went number one overall. Gronk, last Friday, he had a great classic Rob Gronkowski response about the trade reports. Fake news, that's all he said. Bob Kraft said there was no truth. And here's a quote from Bob Kraft. When your team is good, people are looking for things. I'll just tell you it's a bunch of hogwash that I vetoed some trade. That was never in the works, just completely made up. And he goes, I think we have to be certain. We have to be careful in society. People just can't come out and say things, Mr. Kraft. They do.
They actually, do that's what Twitter is about. Yes. Is just saying things.
You just say things. But I don't know what to make
that's
of it.
That's interesting.
It would not look. It wouldn't surprise me, and I wouldn't blame the Patriots for exploring. You know, what can we get for a great tight end who his best days may be behind him? Number one, he's got a little bit of a back issue that flares up. He's had other injuries. Well, how could you blame him for not exploring it, especially if they were interested in moving up to get Baker Mayfield?
Well, I think, plus two things. One, I think it's interesting if it on the fake news side of it that no other specific team was mentioned. At least I haven't heard, right? I mean, they
no other trade partner.
Yeah, they didn't say who the partner was going to be. None of that came up, so that's interesting. And the second thing is that, you know, I just don't see it happening. I mean,
why? They've traded big name, really accomplished players before.
Yeah, but
Richard Seymour,
Robert Kraft is, and I can see on the other side of it, Robert Kraft saying, "Hey, it was never in the works," just to make sure Gronkowski knows they still want him. He's saying, "Hey, it was never in the works. It was never a consideration. We never did it. Never, Rob. We still love you." Because they're in a contract negotiation with him right now.
Right.
So that's the other side of it. That's my second point, was the other side of it. On the fake news side, it was that there was no other trade partner. On the other side of it is Robert Kraft's going, no. Nothing was ever in the works. Yeah. No. It's all fake news. There's nothing to see here. We weren't trying to peddle Rob Gronkowski.
Here's where it could get interesting.
Because we don't want him to get angry with us.
Here's where it could get interesting if the man who runs the football operation there, Bill Belichick, went ahead and made those calls without Mr. Kraft's approval. Now Kraft comes back and says hogwash didn't happen, but maybe it did happen and he didn't tell Kraft about it. And you're right. Kraft says that to pacify Rob.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, the drama.
It's drama. I love when there's drama in New England. That's pretty evident now.
You want to make Murph happy? Just stir the pot in New England.
I love it when they have issues. We're going to take a break. We're back with more. It is John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. What we call One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, Steve, getting ready for a big, long, I was going to say well-deserved, but you've only been here a couple of months vacation.
Wow, this everyday thing is starting to be a grind.
Not used to it.
Considering
was in the works, right? This time off have.
We've barely been. Well, I don't know. I don't want to say anything, but I don't think we've worked a full five-day week since I've
We have. There's been one or two.
There's been one.
Yeah.
Out of the six.
Now, by we...
I mean me.
Yes. Yeah, but I'm happy for you. Vacation.
We meaning me.
Yeah, the great thing is, and don't take this the wrong way, folks, we love doing the show, but this time of year, and once tomorrow ends, once minicamp ends, this place is going to be quiet.
It's a desert.
It's going to be quiet. It's going to be hard doing shows. The hardest part of the year coming up. And so Steve's going to be off. I'm going to be off. After tomorrow's show, or after today's show, Steve will be off.
It's all by design.
We won't work together until July 9th.
Yeah, two weeks from Monday.
Yep.
I'll be back in a week,
and
I'll be hosting the show. But, then it'll be your turn to refresh your time.
So good. Yeah, we're excited about that.
Yeah, we were talking about, as we went to break, we just talked about the Gronkowski thing, and we talked about the Teddy Bridgewater thing, and there's a bunch of stuff going on around the league. And did you hear the story? And you did it on your update.
Reggie Bush?
Reggie Bush got $12.4 million from
the Rams.
Yeah, it's a lot. Getting his knee injured sliding on concrete. during a game. It happened during a game, and I don't know if some people, some of our viewers remember. We've got the for the MSG people. We've got the video of him getting injured, and it looked innocuous, no question. But a lot of injuries do. He takes a punt, goes off to the right side, goes down the sideline, and outside the turf. In this big dome in St. Louis, they had this concrete, and it's real slippery, shiny concrete. He hits it with his cleats, and there's no way you can stand up. He hits the ground and blows his lateral meniscus out on his knee.
It was November 1st, 2015. It was the 49ers at the Rams in St. Louis, Edward Jones Dome, they used to call it there. They don't play the NFL there anymore. The place was very unimpressive, Steve, a very bad NFL venue. And you're right, you know, Reggie Bush called the area where he fell, quote, a concrete ring of death.
Yeah.
Which hopefully he said that in court, which is why he's getting the $12.5 million award. The Rams say they will file a motion for a new trial. They did not decline. Bush says, I'm happy with the verdict. The people spoke and decided very fairly. $12.5 million, suffered a torn lateral meniscus, ended his 2015 season. Of course, he was here for a little bit, didn't do much here. That's a huge award, but I don't blame players for saying, we got to be better than that. We got to, you know, this is not 1948 here. You got all this money, you're making all this money. What are we doing playing with a concrete
and I'll tell you what,
ring
too,
around the stadium?
There's
like
no
that.
Reason why a facility that's going to put on an event of that nature wouldn't have, because you can't, the players are wearing cleats that make it impossible for them to walk on concrete. They have carpets all the way up to the tunnel or a rubberized surface the players can walk on up and down the tunnel. They do it here in Buffalo. They do it every place. They got to have a place to walk because the shoes they wear on the grass don't work anywhere else. And then to have that, it was an ice rink virtually
when he
went off. $12.5 million is a lot of money.
Here's the thing. That's not, you know, that was a bad situation in St. Louis. They're gone there, obviously. But there have been other venues that have been suspect, in fact, Steve. What about Oakland, right? They still play with the skin portion of the infield early in the season. That's not healthy. That's not top grade, and they get away with it. So it's not as if, you know, the league has a new set of stadiums. Let's see if you agree. Stadiums are set up better now for player safety than they were 20 years ago when you were playing, 25 years ago, right?
Sure. We went down – old Cleveland Stadium was a sandbox, literally.
Yeah.
It was a sandbox. And you go down, and years ago, before they built the FedEx or the Link or Philadelphia Stadium.
The old vet,
they canceled a preseason game because the field was unsafe. And I remember, and I cannot remember the player's name. I wish I could. He blew both his knees out just jumping up for a pass because his feet grabbed that turf at the old vet stadium. Both patellar tendons were injured. And it's just amazing nowadays, particularly when you got a place like the new Minnesota. Well, every stadium is new. And even here in Buffalo, we've got a new surface every 6 or 7 years. It's a brand new surface. It's a football-only stadium. And it's as good, the surface and the playing surface at New Era is as good as any in the league. But you got, you know, Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta, you got Jerry World in Dallas, you got Levi Stadium, you've got Century Link in Seattle. All these new stadiums, every one is more beautiful than the last one. And to go back and you're playing in St. Louis, and now you got a team playing in a soccer stadium in L.A., it's just crazy to think about how it was not that long ago when you got a team in St. Louis, or you got a, and even now in there in Oakland.
Well, I know the Raiders are moving, but Oakland is a joke on the field and around the stadium.
It is.
It's an atrocity.
It's a horrible facility. It's a horrible surface to play on. They can say what they want. The stadium is dilapidated. And that's one of the reasons why San Diego had to leave. The Chargers had to leave San Diego is because that stadium was an equal atrocity. It was the underneath the workings of the stadium, the ins, the outs, it was just a horrible place to go and play and work. And as bad as the seats and the stands and the stadium was, the field was the exact same. And I remember the worst field I ever played on was the old Cleveland Brown Stadium. And that was a playoff game. They spray painted it green.
And that wasn't a baseball related thing. There was no grass growing there.
There was no grass. They had, yeah, there was some grass there because they dropped a 2x4-foot strip of sod in the middle of a sandbox and expected that to cover it up. You know, they were spray painting it, and it was horrible. And now I think, you know, and to say 2015 with the Reggie Bush incident that he just got paid $12.4 million for, I mean, that's way, way past the level of tolerance for a league like the NFL.
Hey, you had one other tweet about we were talking about soccer, World Cup soccer, a few minutes ago.
That's right.
You had a question about whether the U.S. would be eligible in 2026.
Right, all those questions that we had that about who gets a
does the U.S. get
automatic
bid?
Yeah, it goes up to 20. It goes up to 48 bids, and the host countries do get a bid. Let me see. I'm having trouble finding the tweet, but
we'll find it.
We'll find it. I'll get it. I got it.
Got an hour to go on the show. We'll find that tweet. I know you're waiting for that. And we also have Tremaine Edmonds scheduled to join us in the third and final hour. Buffalo's first round draft pick, the linebacker from Virginia Tech, going to be in studio with us as they start to wrap up practice outside. Come on back for hour number three. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.